Okay, at this time, we are going to have Mr. Hopkins give us his interpretation and information about the TPP that is right now.
Well, I will be honest with you. I was ready to go over this, and now after hearing Tom, I would like to pass on this and, you know, work on it later, because I'm not going to go through the 333 that we had here. So now I'm a little self-conscious.
We're interested in the long...
The nitty-gritty, meaty part of it.
Todd's three is 3 hours.
Yes, yes. So be prepared, settle in. You know, we're good. Yeah, I appreciate the time and the opportunity to go over the tangible personal property. I know at the last board meeting we spoke about it slightly. First and foremost, I want to say the information that I'm going to have up is available on Board Docs. It will probably be much easier to read on your device that you can bring up at home. If you go into Board Docs and go into our agenda tonight and simply choose the topic of the TPP discussion, tangible personal property discussion, it has three attachments. The first one's the info, which I will go over, and I'll talk about the other two in a moment. But what I want to talk about tonight is exactly what tangible personal property is and how it affects Westlake City School District. You know, John, wake up over there. Come on now. Now, John, I'm sure you know what tangible personal property tax is. So tangible personal property tax is a tax that has been around since the beginning of mankind, basically. And what it was an inventory tax. And it was on December 31st, businesses were required to take an inventory of all of their products that they had on hand and report it and pay a tax on that. And over time, it became a bit of a struggle for businesses. And my school finance professor, I think, put it in the best way that I can, that I could understand, and I pass that on to other people, is, you know, it was a little bit difficult for people to understand, because if you had a business, and let's say you had the hot toy of the Christmas season, and you sold out all of your inventory, and you have a pocket full of cash and no inventory, you've got no tax that you have to pay. Same time, let's say you chose poorly and you thought you had the greatest, you know, hottest toy out there, and it was a flop. And now you have all of this inventory on your shelves and no money in your pocket, and now you have to pay all these taxes. So, you know, it became a challenge for businesses, and businesses would often try to skirt those issues a little bit by inventory in transit was not taxable. So you load everything up December 30th, you drive it around for 2 or 3 days, and, you know, bring it back, and it was not taxable. So you'd have strange things with the inventory tax. So the state got rid of the inventory tax, and I have no problem with that. And that was back in 2004 with House Bill 66. At that time, they introduced the CAT tax, commercial activities tax, which replaced the tangible personal property tax. The CAT tax, I'll be very honest, I don't fully understand how it's taxed, but it's based on the activities of each and every business, based on what they're actually doing, their revenues or their, I think it's on their gross revenues actually is how it's paid. But I don't know much about it, because the big difference that they changed with it is a state level tax that is collected at the state level, which is very different than tangible personal property tax, which was a local tax that was collected at the local level. And the reason that I'm purposely emphasizing that is, you know, all of a sudden when taxes start getting collected at the state level, the state often chooses to distribute it differently than it was originally collected or had it been collected at the local level. So having an interesting conversation with a state senator, I believe he had mentioned some numbers, don't quote me on this, but I believe he mentioned that tangible personal property tax generated $1.4 billion per year throughout the state. The commercial activities tax is actually generating $1.6 billion. So it's actually collecting more, okay? But for a lot of the districts that collected it locally are no longer seeing that money back. So the chart that you'll see in front of you here, and I apologize that, you know, it's up on the screen and it's small, and like I said, I encourage you to bring it up on your home computers. I tried doing a 10-year or 11-year analysis of the monies that we were getting in on the state level. So you see the first area there, and we talk about our base foundation state aid. The foundation formula has changed numerous times over the past 10 years. It's been called the foundation formula, it's a new foundation formula, the bridge formula. It has a number of different names, but it's the state formula that gives funding to school districts. It's typically based on your ADM. First and foremost, I want to stress that as of right now, Westlake City Schools District is considered a guaranteed district, meaning that, in all honesty, the state would like to give us less money than they currently give us. But they are holding us to a level that was back in 2014 as a guaranteed level where we would not drop below that. But going back to 2006, you'll see that between our state foundation funding levels and between the over $4 million that we collected in tangible personal property tax, the combination of the foundation formula and the tangible personal property revenue generated a little over $6.6 million for the school district. I want to fast forward a little bit here and scroll down to what are we looking at for next school year, fiscal year 17, okay? In fiscal year 17, I'm sorry, we're in fiscal year 17, fiscal year 18, so next school year, we're looking at a base state aid of a little, just a hair over $3 million and no tangible personal property tax. So in that 10-year period, 11-year period that we're looking at, we're dropping in half of what we were generating between the state foundation formula and our tangible personal property tax, $3 million. Additionally, one other thing I'd like to point out in this chart is we have deductions that are taken out of our state formula. A lot of those deductions have changed over the past 10 years based on state law, but the main level, the main three deductions are community school deductions, students who choose to withdraw from Westlake City Schools and attend a community school, the open enrollment deduction, students who choose to enroll in another school district that accepts open enrollment. As a side note, Westlake City Schools does not accept open enrollment, but we cannot restrict students from going and opening enrolling somewhere else. And then finally, the scholarship deduction. And the scholarship deduction, the main scholarship deduction for us is called the John Peterson Scholarship Deduction, which allows students with special needs to withdraw and attend private schools and apply what they would have received from Westlake City Schools based on categorical funding towards their tuition payments at a private school. So during the 11-year period, you'll see that the total deductions back in the fiscal year 06 was $72,500, so $72,529. When we fast forward to, we'll look at this year, I kept it the same for next year, it's almost $1 million is what we're losing. Now, I think it's very timely to have the impact group here speaking tonight, because one of the areas that you'll see is we're losing a lot of revenue to community schools. And how do we reach out to the community, the parents who are leaving us, the families that are leaving us and going to a community school and saying, wait a minute, you know, there are very few community schools in this state that provide the quality of education that we provide here in Westlake. And I'm pretty positive from looking at the numbers and the results of community schools in this area, none of them are really around us. So we're losing students that really would be better served with attending Westlake City Schools. When they go to those community schools, you'll see $653,000 is being deducted to pay for those students to go to other schools. Yes, sir.
I know it's a side note here, but off the cuff, do we keep track of where those dollars are going to? What charter schools or community schools are going to?
We absolutely have access to that. It's part of our reports. It will tell us exactly how many students are attending each of the schools that are taking deductions. I don't have that off the top of my head.
That'd be a good one.
But you will see a number of schools. There are online schools. You have the ECOTS or can't think of the other major online school, but you have some online schools. Odella. You have ECOT and Odella. What's that?
Wait a minute, I got it right here. Electronic Classrooms of Tomorrow.
That's ECOT.
Yep, that's $136,000. Ohio Virtual Academy, $116,000. And then it drops down to Treka and others.
Mostly online,
but we can reach out to them and we have opportunities for online school here as well. So we can look at what works best for our students and the district and save those funds or as much of those funds as possible. Additionally, we are losing about $61,000 to open enrollment. Again, that's a little bit harder because they can reach out to whatever school that accepts open enrollment. And then finally, the scholarship deduction, and you see that that scholarship deduction, as the law has changed, has become much more prevalent. Now again, I stand firmly behind the opportunities that Westlake City Schools provides, and it often, I find it difficult to understand why students would choose to, or parents would choose to withdraw their students from Westlake City Schools, both under special needs and the John Peterson Scholarship, as well as our typical students, and go to another school. But we are losing about $1 million a year out of our state funding. So really, when you look at it, we're going from $6 million down to now about $2 million, okay? And that's a pretty significant cut. As we move farther down a little bit, I did put together some graphs on here just to kind of give an idea of where our funding levels are. You'll see our base level funding has grown, but not that significantly in the past 10, 11, 12 years. In fiscal year 06, we were at $2.58 million. Now we're right around $3 million is what we're projecting for next year. But when you look at our tangible personal property revenue, that's where we're going from a high of almost $4.4 million down to expected for next fiscal year, zero. Total state aid and revenue combined, you see a significant loss. And then again, as we look at each of our school choice deductions, you know, this is an inverse scale, so as the farther down is, the more deductions are being taken out, a negative value. You know, we're losing $1 million now from back in 06, fiscal year 06, it was only $72,000. A pretty significant loss to the district. And then finally, as we look at, again, after the deductions are taken, how does this affect us? We're going from $6.5 million to $2 million. And this is the struggle that we have right now. So we have spoken about a few of the topics today and how we can address it internally. We'll work on how reaching out to students who are leaving to community schools or to the John Peterson Scholarship, but how can we act within our legislative body to address this as well? Again, perfect timing. Today the Senate put together their proposal for the Senate side of the budget. And the Alliance for Quality Education was quite kind enough to put together a spreadsheet for us and pass that on. And Westlake City Schools is projected to lose 34% of state and TPP funding going into next school year. So we have a drop of 34% from this year going into next year.
And Todd, that you just received today?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, that just came out actually hot off the press, probably about 4 o'clock today. The proposal from the Senate budget was released earlier today, and they just put together the numbers. This is very, very similar to what the House put together. Okay, now again, what I want to stress is in both cases, they're trying to sell this as there's very little loss to school districts, because in all honesty, we're looking at I think it's about a $40,000 reduction in our actual foundation funding. It's not the foundation funding for us, it's the tangible personal property tax for us. Going over a brief history of the tangible personal property tax, back in 2004, it was passed part of House Bill 66 to remove or to start phasing out tangible personal property tax. Over the years, it's become a political football, kicked back and forth, and the timing of it all has changed. And it's changed several times to going from a phase out to back 2 years ago. They said, you know what, we're not going to do the phase out. The districts that still have it will allow them to keep it because they have been so heavily dependent on it, generating for our district at one point well over 10% of our total tax budget. But 2 years later, in the words of someone that I spoke with, our current governor does not have the word perpetuity in his vocabulary, so anything that they're looking at is all up in the air, and they are choosing to withdraw the tangible personal property supplement in its entirety. Now what I would ask for the board here, for our constituents in the community, is I also have two things attached here on this resolution, or on this topic. We have postcards that I have pre-filled out for all of 33 of our state senators. You can print as many or as few as you'd like and fill in your name and address and throw a stamp on it and mail it off. I also have a postcard in there directed at the governor directly, Governor Kasich, that has the information about TPP. Although the state budget came out, or the Senate budget was proposed today, it does not mean that the fight is over. This happened 2 years ago when they removed tangible personal property completely from they had it in the budget. The governor then did a line item veto and removed it in its entirety. But they added it back after the fact through Senate Bill 208. We can do it again, just like we did 2 years ago, by encouraging the House and Senate to put together a bill separate and apart from the budget bill to fund tangible personal property tax supplements or reimbursements. The more money that we can generate from it, the less tax burden it puts on our local taxpayers, specifically our homeowners. So we are currently generating $1.4 million this year in total tangible personal property tax. And with that money gone, although it's forecasted in our forecast to be gone, okay, that doesn't mean that we have to give up on it and let it fade away. We would like to see it revived as much as possible. Again, I want to go back probably 10 minutes ago and say that the CAT tax is generating $1.6 billion. Personal tangible property tax only generated 1.4 when they phased it out. The money is there, they're choosing to prioritize it in different ways. So if you would be so kind to look at this, we also have a letter that we can get to people. The letter I have not put up on the website because it is in a Word document, as I would like to have people type in their name and address, but we can have that available on our website for people to download and send that letter to the state senators or the governor as well.
Has Senator Dolan weighed in and given any kind of official notice or statement in support of...
Yes, he is in support of a TPP phase out instead of complete withdrawal. The last conversation we had with him, he was proposing, I think, a 2-year phase out that would go from the ballpark, and I'm not a treasurer, so my numbers are going to be off a little bit, about $900,000, then down to $400,000 or $500,000, and then gone.
Correct.
So he's working on that. I received a call when this came out. Representative Greenspan called me and said this is coming out, and he and I discussed that. Senator Dolan was very supportive. Representative Greenspan, very supportive. I know they both believe in TPP, and we're not the only district inside this inside Senator Dolan's area jurisdiction. Solon actually shared the postcards and everything you're seeing. Those were shared from Solon that I think they would be taking how big of a hit?
Yeah, Solon is currently, while we're currently generating, they have on here as 1.3, it's actually about 1.4 million for us. Solon is 2.4 million and Strongsville is the same.
Yeah, so there's other school districts in our local communities here who are definitely getting hit by that. And I know that Representative Greenspan and Senator Dolan have been very supportive of us, and I know they were trying to put together legislation to bring to the Senate.
Separate legislation?
The original conversation that I thought, the way I took it walking away from it, was that it would be more of a budgetary. I didn't take it as a separate one, but that...
And I agree with you. Mr. Cog and I spoke with Senator Dolan on the phone, and my understanding at that time was they were going to introduce it as part of the budget. I'm not sure if that was able to happen or didn't have the support to add it into the budget bill. But again, I want to stress we can still work with our legislators to have a separate bill.
Did he contact you? I know he was planning to come tonight. Were you able to have a conversation with him?
We have not been able to have a follow-up conversation. Mr. Goggin did reach out to him specifically about being at this meeting, and he was unable to attend tonight.
Okay.
But we are trying to keep in contact with him to have as much influence as possible.
Okay, wonderful.
Did he say he did introduce or request a change to the current?
He stated that he was working on it. He was working on it with some other senators and trying to get it included in the budget, but that's all that I have.
It didn't work, obviously.
I would assume not, yeah.
Anything about it as a board, how do we get the word out to residents here in Westlake? I think about the 3-second blurb I just heard on WCPN on the way over is that state senate passed budget and schools are due to receive no more than they received last year. So and that message is out there, those 3 seconds, that's what many of us are hearing. So how do we get this message to folks in Westlake?
Only if we had somebody.
I look at
First job. I have a question. Do we get money from the CAT tax?
So the CAT tax, the, again, because it's collected at the state level, okay, if we receive any money from the CAT tax, it's included in our foundation, and we don't see it as a separate line item, like tangible personal property tax was. I think the challenge with the CAT tax, and I'm, you know, I'm gonna stick my neck out there a little bit and get on my high horse, and I apologize in advance, but the CAT tax, I think, is a lot like the lottery and has become that whole three-card Monty type situation, to where you know the funding level of school to schools out of the state general fund was X amount of money, and as the lottery came into play, all they did is really reduce it from the general fund, and then had the lottery fund to make up the difference. The CAT tax is set aside by law that 70% of it funds school districts. Okay. But again, all they did is they reduced their general fund amount and supplemented with the CAT tax so that they're spending less out of their general fund and have dedicated funds that are going for the for school funding. The challenge for us is whether we believe it or not, whether it's correct or not, but the district is viewed as very, very wealthy. And as such, funding we... When they talk about state funding for schools, okay, and when I had spoken about the state would like to give us less than we currently get, okay, is we are at a floor, which is our state share index, the SSI for us. So if they said they were going to give us a dollar, okay, they multiply that dollar by our state share index, and our state share index is 5%. So out of every dollar we're eligible for, they will only give us a nickel. Now, they would like to give us less than that, but because we're a guaranteed district, we get what we have right now, although it's going to drop a little bit next year. But they would like to give us less than that 5%, but that is the floor in the state. You can't get lower than a 5% state share.
So it seems like the people in Columbus are all about redistribution of wealth.
I will leave that to be your opinion if that's what you'd like to say there.
Considering we're not getting our fair share here.
So long story short is we want to encourage people to send these postcards to the legislators too.
We do. We want to reach out to our legislative body. I think the easiest way here is by doing those postcards, but I would also strongly encourage people to reach out personally. A phone call. I mean, you are the constituents of these state senators and state representatives, okay? They will by far listen to the constituents more than they will listen to the superintendent and treasurer, although we will call as constituents as well. But when we say that this is our title, it has less weight than just being a standard voter. Mm-hmm. They very much want to hear from constituents, and I strongly encourage you to reach out to those to your representatives. But an easy way to do that is through the postcards or a letter.
What's our plan for getting this out to our parent community and just our community in general?
That's what we're working on. That we're going to send out the email blast. We're going to send out the communication.
Yeah, it's
all
a tough time because people are kind of
they're vacationing. They're gone. Yeah, they're not in the buildings. But we have to. Yeah. Most of it we're going to have to do electronically. I would think.
Does the Alliance have a position or a game plan associated with it? Because I know a lot of the school districts that are in it, like us, are probably affected.
Yeah, they're working on it. As a matter of fact, I spoke with Tony Pottigil last week, and then we communicated again today. They're working to push it, and they're working hard on it. And As a matter of fact, my understanding from talking to Tony was that he was helping Senator Dolan write the legislation to keep it in. So they were doing assistance in that way. So like Todd said, it's, you know, even if it was sitting in there right now, we would still have to be active because the governor could line item
Absolutely.
It out anyway. So it's one that we just have to, no matter what this was going to say, we have to push. We have to show the importance of it.
Okay. Any other comments? Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the description. I don't think I've heard it described, and I've heard this for years, but you've added some aspects to this that help me understand it even deeper. So, thank you.
And that's a good segue into my legislative report because you did it for me. Because the only thing I had to discuss was the TPP, and you said say much better than I could, so thank you. So moving on, and Dr. Stoll is not here for his report. Policy?
We have first readings of policies.
And I'll go, if you don't mind, I'll go through those during...
Yeah,
during
the time when we're gone. That sounds great. Thank you.
Finance?
I don't know that we have anything new. I know we've had a board meeting since our special finance meeting.
Correct.
So I have nothing to add.
Okay. Curriculum, we haven't met.
No.